Hi, Terry. How are you?
I'm very good.
Good. And where are you today?
Well, I'm at home in Issaquah, Washington.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's a little place outside, a little town outside of Seattle.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, Terry, I'm recording this call, and you know, I thought maybe there might be portions we'd use or something. I don't know. Let's just have the conversation we want to have, and we can figure out what we do with it once we have it.
Okay. That sounds good.
All right. Yeah. So you two have been working together on this. Is that right?
Well, you know, I've worked with a number of people, but in the last couple of years, Kim has really gotten a very good process of putting his feet on the ground with this developmental model in a way that's really useful for anybody that works with a person, a whole person. So, you know, while I have the theory and I've developed a scoring system that's an integral scoring system, he's been able to take the process and use it in working with his coaching and psychotherapy clients.
Mm-hmm.
So that in the moment he can ascertain where shadow is coming up and then adjust his work with according to, you know, where they are in the moment. So So it's been a really joyful process here to work with him, and I've been very appreciative in the last couple of years and how well he's been able to hone everything and how well it fits the work that I've done over the past 5 years to get this model, you know, engaged and the,
right.
Like the research on it and everything. So,
well, cool. And Kim, I want to hear from you about some of your experiences, but before we do, Terry, I'd like if you could just describe what it is you're doing in, you know, a bigger context. You're doing a system of identifying stages of development. Is that correct? Or
yes, the name of the model is just simply Stages.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, I'm a scorer for Suzanne's map. And
we're talking about Suzanne Cookreuter's system. And her system is called?
She calls it the map, usually.
Uh-huh.
It's a sentence completion test. And, of course, she's on Lovinger's shoulder. And one of the beautiful things about Suzanne is that, in my opinion, she was the first person to really break into what we call the causal tier. Her contribution there, I think, is going to stand, you know, through history, because I don't think anybody ever really was able to see the things that she could see. And my work just simply embellishes hers a little bit, but you know, she's the queen of this work, in my opinion. She's just been a fabulous friend, a good researcher, and deserves a lot of credit for anything that comes further, because she broke the typical mold of development, in my opinion, and added a whole new focus here. So
yeah, and we're talking about the you know, the psychological, developmental psychology approach to mapping the development of adults. And you mentioned Jane Lovinger and Suzanne, and there's a whole group of these developmental pioneers that have worked and, you know, mapping out how adults grow in all these various ways. And as you're saying, Suzanne has really been the first to map out the causal realm. And that's interesting, yeah.
That's the way I see it. I think her contribution is, you know, a very phenomenal contribution. And so, you know, I've used her work all the way through in the research that I've done. But my this particular scale, the stages scale, actually integrates Suzanne's work and Ken's work, and of course Ken is the other phenomenal person here.
Yeah.
One could never really do all this without those without these two historic leaders in these fields. And
here, here.
That's you know, that's been the blessing that I've had in working with this scale. My hope in doing this was that I would be able to, well, there were three different purposes. One was to develop a scale that would be able to engage with the quadrants, levels, lines, states, and types as part of the measurement in Ken's integral quadrants. And that way, I was hoping to be able to, you know, support him in some ways by putting some statistical measures under the scale that, under the, you know, the integral theory process he has. And he may have had, he's had some other research projects done like this, but this particular scale actually uses the quadrants as a measurement device. So, you know, when I look at how to measure it, I look at, you know, whether the completion is an individual one or a collective one, whether it's an interior or an exterior, or whether it's an inside and an outside. So I use those three measures as part of the scoring system itself, and it's so intertwined with it that you can't separate the quadrants. Ken's work can't be separated from the stages model. So that was one of the purposes that I hoped for when I started working on this 5 years ago. And then the second one was I was hoping that you know, as I worked with Suzanne Cook-Greuter's scale and all the work that she had done, my hope was that it would show that, you know, that it had a decidedly integral component too. And but the primary purpose for me was this was a sort of I was sort of led by spirit, I would say. You know, this has been a guiding factor for me all the way through, is to really pay attention to you know, what I'm being called to do here. And in that way, I don't feel I even own the scale, or that you know, I feel like I'm its caretaker. But it has been something that has been a beautiful gift to me, and I've learned so much just by putting this work together. So that's a little bit about how it began. And then basically when I got started, Jeff, I looked at Ken's quadrants, and you know, the one image that he has with the big X in the middle where there's development in all four quadrants, do you remember that one?
Yes, of course.
Yes, it's just one of his, you know, one of the basic.
I think it's the end pages of Sex, Ecology, and Spirituality, if I'm not mistaken.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's just one of the primary images he has. And as I was working with the scoring with Suzanne's scoring approach, and looking at that model, I began to see that many of the stems and the completions that I was scoring had concrete objects and didn't have subtle or causal objects arising in them. And then I could see that others had primarily subtle objects. And then I could see that, you know, in her work with these construct aware and unitive, I could see that they were actually causal objects that were arising there. So I started playing with his diagram and just drew a line around the areas where these different objects seemed to transform, and then delineated what I call a concrete tier, where you have concrete stages. There's four of them. And that tier has a concrete individual, a concrete collective, a concrete interior, and a concrete exterior, mm-hmm. and then concrete insides and outsides. And then I drew a line around where there seems to be a transformation between what, you know, the places where subtle objects tend to fall and causal objects tend to fall. And and then looked to see where the subtle sub-quadrant would be, and that would have a subtle individual, a subtle collective, a subtle interior, and a subtle exterior. And then, of course, the same thing happened with the causal. So you have a causal individual, a causal collective, a causal interior, and a causal exterior. Mm-hmm. And by looking at things that way, you can start doing some very refined measurements that can go on. So that was the genesis of the work that I've done, and I've spent the last 5 years doing the research on thousands and thousands and thousands of sentence completions in order to refine this notion, and then obtain some statisticians who were able to do a correlative study with the Lovinger and Suzanne's model, and it came out with a very high kappa, and also did some verifications for three later stages. But the thing about this is that the measuring stick has been very, very rigid according to Ken's model here. And so there's four stages in the concrete tier, four stages in the subtle tier, four stages in the causal tier.
And now, do these correlate with Ken's altitudes?
Very much so, yes.
So you're saying it'd be archaic to traditional would be the concrete, and then...
Yes, it goes, and I'm using Suzanne's names here mostly. Yeah. But yes, it's the four earlier stages. And then the middle stages. One good thing about Suzanne's model is that she sees that there's an early person perspective and an early part of each person perspective and a late part of each person perspective. Mm-hmm. So, you have an early first and a late first, which is, in her nomenclature, it's impulsive and opportunist. Then you have an early second and a late second, which is the rule-oriented and then the diplomat or conventional. And then you move to the subtle tier, and then you have an early third and a late third. So the early third is this expert stage. Commons calls it abstract. And then you have the orange or the achiever. And then the fourth person perspective early is the individualist or pluralist stage, and the late is the strategist or the teal stage. Mm-hmm. And then she goes on into the causal stages, of which she identified two. She did research on two of them and identified, a stage she called ego aware. And that one, I was able to do some research on and identify that one. There just weren't enough stems at the time and completions at the time for her to identify that one. And then went on and found another one at the later sixth-person perspective. So the measuring stick is very, very regular all the way through. There's an early and a late for each person perspective. So if I want to measure... something I can look at which tier it's in, and one of the most amazing things happened, Jeff, when I started looking at this more carefully. I found out that many of the things that come up in this early concrete tier iterate up into the subtle tier and iterate up again, repeat itself in the causal tier. The only difference is that instead of having concrete objects, you have subtle objects in the subtle tier, and then you have causal objects in the causal tier. And it's just so amazing to see how this happens. So there's many iterating patterns, but the one that is primary seems to be this. The first stage is always a receptive stage, and the second stage in each tier is always active. The third stage is always reciprocal, and the fourth stage is always interpenetrative. So you have that those stages in the concrete tier, and they have concrete objects. You have those same stages in the subtle tier, only they have subtle objects. And then you have the same stages in the causal tier, only their objects are causal.
And let me stop you there, Terry, and ask you to give me some examples of what you mean by a causal object, a subtle object, and a concrete object. I think I know concrete object, but help me out anyway.
Yeah. Well, concrete objects are really objects that you can apprehend with your senses, you know, on the outside, but they're also come up in your interior senses. Let's say you can visualize, but it's different to visualize a house than it is to visualize, you know, awareness. You know, so the objects here that in either your exterior or interior senses in the concrete tier are things that you can really see, hear, or feel with your senses. But in the subtle, the objects are not something that you necessarily can make a distinct picture about. For instance, somebody in the subtle tier might talk about how they're reasoning. Well, you can't necessarily make a picture about reasoning, you know. That's not a concrete notion. Or they might say something about observing. So observing is really more of something visual, but it's a more subtle object. Reasoning is really something more about the way that you think. It's more linear. And then they might say something about presence, you know, which is really more of a kinesthetic notion, but you can't really have the same kind of feeling about that as you do, you know, being mad or being sad or being happy. You know, it's a much more subtle kind of process. So the subtle objects fall in this tier. Mm-hmm. And then in the causal tier, here's where the poles are different. You have a causal individual, a causal collective, a causal interior, and a causal exterior. So we keep looking at how these poles keep changing. So a causal individual is somebody that identifies with awareness itself. So you've heard Ken talk about, you know, you can be sitting in a room and notice that you're inside of the room, or you can notice that the room is inside of your awareness. You know, he uses that example fairly frequently. But at the causal tier, not only are you aware that the room is arising in your awareness, you're aware that you know that. So it's not just an experience of it. You have an awareness. You're witnessing that when it's happening. So that is what we call a causal object, being aware that you're aware. And there's an emptiness to that. Awareness itself doesn't really have, I mean, it itself is an empty object. So, you know, there's, when you say causal, we look at a causal individual is one that really recognizes emptiness and fullness. And so the exterior and interior poles on that tier are emptiness and fullness. So they can be aware of the fullness of all existence, such as immanence, or they can be aware of the emptiness, which is transcendence or illusions. You know, even though, for instance, a word might come up in your mind about something, if you immediately recognize that word is an illusion, it puts a whole different sheen on it when you recognize the word itself is empty, or that boundaries themselves are empty. And this is what comes up in this causal tier. So those are some of the objects that we measure there. And we have four different stages there. And of course, the last two are, we don't have hundreds of people there because there just aren't that many that are there. But once you look at the scoring boundaries of the spaces in Ken's actual quadrants, you can tell what fits in the spaces and what wouldn't fit in the spaces. You know, once you identify and name these definitions and these spaces, and they're all based on protocols that we actually have, and oftentimes even experiences we have of doing inter-observations of people that we've scored there, so that we get more and more clear about, you know, what these particular spaces offer. So, you know, if you have a concrete, let's say you're looking at the upper right quadrant in the concrete tier, you have a concrete individual with a concrete exterior. Now, you can think about that, and then there's an inside to an outside of that. Then in the subtle tier, you have a subtle individual with a subtle exterior. Now that starts looking at, now what is that? You know, we don't think in those terms very well. And then when you get to the causal tier, you have a causal individual with a causal exterior. When you start looking at the puzzling aspects of what that really means and how the transformations really happen, you can start developing spaces there that are quite definitive about what would fit in there and what wouldn't. And that's what the scoring system is based on. So we just ask a few questions. Are the objects concrete, subtle, or causal? Are the objects individual or collective? Or are the objects, we call it had or had by, and that's the inside and the insides and outsides. And those three questions, if you look at them carefully, will identify the stage of development a person is at. And you can't get at it unless you know Ken's quadrants very well.
Right. Wow, this is really, really exciting, Terry. It's definitely got me all excited here, I got to say. So let me just to make sure I'm understanding, when you talk about the causal, subtle, and concrete, I'm going backwards there. But so the concrete, if I relate these to, you know, typically in integral Ken Wilber world, we talk about tiers as first and second tier. You're talking about a different set of tiers, right? Concrete, subtle, and causal.
And I've worked with Ken on this all the way along, so he knows what I've done here. And of course, you can slice and dice any way you want, but the slicing and dicing that I did was really based on where do the objects transform from concrete to subtle, and where do they transform from subtle to causal, you know? And that's, you know, that's the yardstick that I've used, and it just fits so well. Yeah.
No, wonderful. I think it makes perfect sense. So you're saying that the transition from concrete to subtle is, using Ken's altitudes, would be somewhere between amber and orange, or traditional and modern.
Yes. Okay. There's one stage that Ken leaves out, in that there's not an early orange and a late orange, or an early third and a late third. And there are other ones that do have that, you know.
Well, Suzanne's does.
Suzanne's does. Suzanne's has all of them. The one thing about Suzanne's and Lovinger is that as they worked with this rule-oriented stage, they gradually moved the scoring, they merged the scoring of rule-oriented and this amber stage together. So I separated that back out again, so I have a measurement for rule-oriented. They used to have it. They don't use it anymore, but it's really such a distinctive stage when you start looking at what it means. And then, you know, different scales have different ways of measuring, and it's not to say that, I mean, every one of them are gorgeous in my view. I think we all do something a little bit different. But the one thing that I wanted to make sure that I did was, if I had an early first and a late first and an early second and a late second, then I needed an early third and a late third if my measuring stick was going to be an even measuring stick. And then there was an early fourth and a late fourth. And then you move into the causal tier, there was an early fifth. But Suzanne identified the ego aware, but she didn't have she was unable to get the research on it. So I worked with that. And then the early sixth, and which was her unitive. And then the late sixth, which is the illumined stage that I've done some work on, and we got some verification for. So, you know, it's just, if you keep your measuring stick really, really carefully clear, these iterating patterns come up, which are just so amazing, you know.
No, amazing.
And that allows a psychotherapist to look at, you know, okay, is the object concrete cellular causal, are they receptive? Are they active? Are they reciprocal? Or are they interpenetrative? You know, you can start recognizing that in the moment. And Kim has, I can't speak to it as well as Kim can, because he has practiced this in his psychotherapy now for several years, and has this down really, really clear. And so he knows more about how to do that and how to work particularly with shadow, for instance, and that kind of thing. So, yeah.
Well, I'd like to hear about that in a second. I just want to, especially for people who don't understand Suzanne's system or these finer systems in general, to just sort of, you know, map what you're doing with Ken's altitudes, which is, you know, what a lot of us talk, you know, we talk that system. So the concrete to subtle is somewhere between amber and orange. And then the transition between the subtle and causal is, where would that be on Ken's altitudes?
Teal to turquoise.
Between teal and turquoise. Yeah.
Yes.
Got it.
Because
okay.
teal is, I mean, a lot of times they put teal at second tier because it is such an incredible stage. It can look back at everything and see the developmental model itself. Mm-hmm. But it isn't causal yet.
Right.
You know, it's the specific stage that is ready to leap into causal. And so that's why, and Suzanne made that demarcation. She is the one that figured that one out. You know, she's just really been quite a researcher, in my opinion. You know, I used her work because it just made so much sense to me. The difference between teal and turquoise is extraordinary in the way that people start responding. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the distinctions that Ken makes is between teal and turquoise is that, oh, I'm going to mangle it, I'm afraid, but it's teal is mind with heart, and turquoise is heart with mind. I think that's actually wrong. But at any rate, what comes on at turquoise is basically a spiritual dimension where you see the whole system. At teal, you see the whole system, and you see the development. You see the fourth dimension of time and evolution. At turquoise, you see, oh, my God, it's alive.
Yes.
The whole system's alive.
Yes. You hear teals talking a lot about brain-mind stuff or body-mind stuff. But when you get to, and they integrate brain-mind and they integrate brain-body. But when you get to a turquoise, it's mind-body-spirit that is, and I use the word immanence. It's so interpenetrated you can't separate it out. And people will speak to that in their completions. And, you know, and of course, the good thing I think about having 36 sentences is that you have 36 different contexts that, mm-hmm. that people speak to. So you can tell after they repeat these things so many times that they are really seated very strongly in a stage or not. So.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Hallelujah.
Well, it's been fun, and there's still so much left to do, Jeff. Really, there's still so much left to do. You know, we've just started, but I mean, it's a very hopeful process, and it's not out there to compete with anybody else. I mean, I've just followed my passion like Ken has, and of course, my passion has always been Ken's stuff. So, you know, and
join
also
the club.
So that's kind of where it all came from, I love the work that everybody has done. Each person who seems to, you know, worked on these scales seems to have their own particular gift that they're giving, and I hope that this will give a gift too, and it'll be different than everybody else's, but we each have our own way of contributing to the whole of development, I think, by having all these different scales, and I'm mighty happy they're all out there.
Well, yeah, and I think actually for people who are interested in this and people who are self-identified, you know, at least integral practitioners, we want to know what we know about these higher stages, because it actually helps us locate our own lives and our own experience, and it helps us make sense, and it helps us to, you know, cut these grooves so that we do it, first of all, properly, and secondly, we do it with some sense of, you know, residency, and we can actually, you know, land and live in these higher stages. If we got a good map, we can live there better.
Well, I think that that it can be very, very useful in our work to know what these stages are. But one of the things that I love about this model and also Kim's work is that you start recognizing how you need to go through each stage in a really robust, clear way, in an all quadrant way. Because if you don't, then you know, when you get to the later stages, you end up going back anyway and regressing, doing shadow work and all kinds of stuff. So it's not, we're not in a hurry here. You actually lose by hurrying and win by just really thoroughly relishing every stage that you're in and building a good base. And Kim has shown that so much in the work that he's done. And once you get that base done, then it's just natural for you to float to the next stage without a lot of onerous problems or anything. So
you kind of can't help it.
Yeah, you can't help it. And it's right then.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, we know that there's much wisdom in our eldership, regardless of what stage we're at, you know.
Of course.
It's really helpful to have a good life experience and learn some lessons, even if we're not at a causal tier stage, you know. It really does add a maturity to what we know and a capacity for us to be supportive of people in all stages. I think of my 94-year-old mother, you know, she's still raising me, you know, she is. She's just my greatest source of learning, and her wisdom from so many years, it just continues to teach me. So that's important to know, too. So.
Indeed, yes. So, Kim, if I may turn to you and ask, so you're working with this on the ground. You're working with this with real people in a psychotherapeutic container. What are you finding and what are you seeing as the potential for this?
Well, Jeff, one of the things, and my sister Terry is extremely humble about this, but one of the things is that this is a pretty radical change from the standard developmental models. And to give you an example of how you can use it is to think about physics and before the table of before the periodic table of elements was developed. And Dmitri Mendeleev created the periodic table of elements. And all of a sudden, people could start seeing, oh, we haven't found this particular thing yet, but we know that it's there. Because the table of elements says that it's there. And so what development has always done in the past is study thousands or hundreds of people and categorize them in different, chop it up into different categories. But it's a completely different experience when you understand the key elements, the key codes, and that the configurations of those is what leads to the different developmental stages. And so all of a sudden, now as a practitioner, instead of memorizing and studying, you know, hundreds and thousands of things about what you need to do to be to distinguish between stages, you have a few very clean, clear, elemental elements to look at, and that allows you on the fly to immediately see where your clients are coming from, whether you're coaching or whether you're doing psychotherapy or whether you're doing spiritual development or whether you're in education. And being able to do that on the fly so easily, and then being able to see that as they shift, you know, when I do an intervention, do I see a shift in these key elements? Does that lead it to more robustness? Does it lead to a higher developmental stage? Am I seeing a crash? And you can see these elements and these configurations shifting on the fly, and you can see immediately whether your interventions are actually leading to success or deterioration, and then you can adjust that. And when you see a crash or a deterioration in the configuration to a lower developmental level, then you know that you have a shadow element starting to come up that hasn't been worked with. And so instead of using the same interventions that you had been using, you can immediately shift to interventions that are more appropriate to the new developmental level that relates to the shadow. And then you can immediately see the configuration stabilize or gain traction again and start moving up the scale again. So you really have an on-the-fly assessment and measurement of your success or lack of success. And So it just becomes extremely functional and extremely efficient as a result of that.
And this is, you're talking about using Terry's system, the Stages assessment tool, which is a series of, I'm gathering that it's a series of 36 sentences that you get a sentence.
That's actually, that's how she scores and measures them. But once you understand the key elements that she uses to measure, you're not getting those 36 sentences in people on the fly when you're working in psychotherapy. They're talking about whatever they're talking about. But what you can do is see those key elements that she scores on, not the sentences, but what she uses to score on. And you can see those configurations occurring. So you can watch those in the subjects that the clients are bringing up themselves. And by watching that configuration stabilize or change, then you can adapt to that very quickly and efficiently, which you cannot do with the standard developmental model. They just don't do that. So the difference is, like, you know, if you think of biological sciences before Darwinian evolution, you know, we were sitting around counting 1,000 fish to see how many spines they had on their fin to clarify what the difference was between one species or the next. But now with the concept of evolution, you just see an explosion in the biological sciences and how we think about things and how we can predict. It moves us from assessment to prediction, and it moves us from description to prediction. So now, all of a sudden, with evolution, we can predict what's going to happen when we change the environmental circumstances on a species, and we can see how that person, how that species is going to change. We can actually predict that because we know how evolution works and what the conditions are that would lead to certain evolutionary changes. We can do that now with consciousness, with Terry's model. We can see the environment in which a particular configuration is forming, and we can predict what environmental changes can occur to change the configuration so that they either become more robust and healthy at that developmental stage or to move them to the next developmental stage.
It changes
the entire game, just like evolution changed the entire game, just like the periodic table of elements changed the entire game. And I've kind of dubbed Terry's Stages model the periodic table of consciousness.
I'd like to mention here that one of the things that Kim is talking about is like these iterating patterns. So looking to see, is the client receptive? Are they active? Are they in a reciprocal place, or are they interpenetrative? Are they using concrete objects, subtle objects, or causal objects? Those are the kinds of things you can notice in the moment, even though you don't have a score on somebody. But we also do have a way of scoring it. So there's two ways of working with the scale now. So.
Well, that's what I'm trying to understand here, is that I get that there's an assessment and I get that there is a developmental model, and I guess they're not the same thing. And the model, I mean, Kim, when you're talking about working with a client on the fly and you're seeing that, you know, I see this bit piece and I see this piece and I can fill it in and so forth. You're not doing that by a sentence completion test. You're doing that by understanding the model and working with it. And so, Terry, what you've developed is really both things, it sounds like, right?
I think so.
Absolutely.
So, Kim, you would with a new client, for instance, have them perhaps take the assessment.
Actually, not necessarily. I mean, yes, that would be good if I didn't understand the model very well, or even if I did, I might. But I work with a lot of people that can't afford the assessment. And when you're working in psychotherapy, a lot of times you're working with people that can't afford an assessment. But what you can still do is use these key code elements and these configurations to, on the fly, work with them and do it in a very successful manner.
Wow. Well, so what my fantasy is now, knowing this, is that there's a way of helping people who are self-consciously working to develop their consciousness to have a method and have a map. And wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Not only that, but you can help work with people that aren't being self-conscious, because a lot of the right. early developmental stages aren't that self-conscious, but you have a map of the consciousness of those stages, and you understand what the next developmental configuration is, so you can actually help promote that until they do become self-conscious and self-actualized or self-motivating individuals to move to higher developmental level.
Right.
Kim also works with something called surface area, and has a whole different definition of regression. You know, there's so many, you know, that comes up as a result of this. So,
okay, so when you start understanding these configurations, you start being able to see that what, not just what people have done with it, but what people potentially could do with it, and what the potential for the absolute most robust health is. Once you see the configuration, you're saying, oh my gosh, we haven't even explored these areas of where we can be healthy. And a lot of times what it does also is it breaks down kind of like standard myths, you know, like when is the appropriate time to potty train and what is the healthiest way to do it. And all of a sudden you can start seeing more options, which as we discover things anthropologically around the world, we're discovering are being done very successfully, but we have a myth in our culture that it has to be done at a certain time in a certain way. But there are actually multiple ways that we can do this in a very healthy way. So that's just one small example of seeing how once you see the parameters, you see all kinds of new ideas open up about how we can be healthy in a certain way and at a certain stage. And so it allows a lot more freedom of movement with confidence, instead of wondering, well, some people say this, some people say that. Well, with this, with these parameters, you're very clear on where the parameters are. And just because somebody comes with an idea that's a little bit out of the ordinary doesn't mean that it's not a healthy parameter for that stage. It fits within the parameters, so it's healthy. So you can see that and utilize that and support them in it rather than trying to steer them away from their style of it. So it allows a person to actually be more uniquely themselves while still providing guidance along the developmental spectrum. And so this is what we talk about when we talk about surface area, is we want to broaden the surface area of contact, of healthy contact with the configuration. And that's what's going to make us the most robust at that stage. And once you've fulfilled enough of that stage, you automatically, what I see people just shoot into the next stage. I see this happen all the time. I watch people who have never been at a certain developmental stage, after just a few sessions sometimes working with them, boom, they just launch into new space. It's really fun when people enter the causal for the first time. They've been working on being causal for years and years and years, and we work with them a little bit, sometimes 3 sessions, 5 sessions, and boom, all of a sudden they just spit into the, they just launch into the causal tier, you know, without even trying, without even an attempt. They're not even working on it, because we've made the surface area so robust at the lower developmental level that that becomes the launching stage for moving into the next one, that they can't help it. It just launches them into it.
No, that's growth. I mean, that's built into the cosmos. That's the work of God. You know, I mean, you know, once you get a good rosebud, you can't stop it from blooming. It just, that's the thing it does.
That's right. If it has all the nutrition, that's what it does.
Yep. And some sunshine and water.
That's right. And that's what we're saying. You give all the healthy elements and you can't help but grow and move into healthy, delightful, wonderful ways of being and experiencing the universe.
Wow. Again, hallelujah.
It's your natural way of being.
Yeah. Well,
and
goodness gracious, it sounds...
Keep going. And the only thing that stops that natural progress is not giving the proper nutrition, you know, not giving, the, like you said, on a concrete level, the sunlight, the nutrition that would make it bloom. And now with Terry's periodic table of consciousness or stages model, we understand what those elements are and what all types of nutrition can fit into each developmental stage. And so we can help each stage bloom fully to the point that it just automatically skyrockets you into the next developmental stage.
Terrific. So what are you folks doing with this? Is this something that you feel newly finished with or ready to bring into the open, Terry? Or is this something that you're doing as a business or a product? I see you're coming to Boulder to the Integral Center for a weekend. And so what's next with this?
Well, I launched, Pacific Integral launched this model back in June. We got our statistics back last year. It was, in July, just before the ITC conference, and I was able to share a little bit about the statistical work there and presented a paper there. And then I have written a book, and it's in in one of Sean's SUNY series. So it's now in peer review, and that'll hopefully be coming out before too terribly long. You never can tell, you know, when it comes to, working with the publishers, but they've been wonderful. And so I'm just gradually wanting to, just share the model with people. And, you know, one thing that I know is just from Kim's work is that this seems to work with psychotherapy, coaching, and education, and anything where you're working with a whole person, it seems to work very, very well. And we are already scoring. We have a new scoring platform with a system so that people can take the stages model inventory if they want to. But I'm really hoping that I can interest some other professions too, like. One of the things that I'm so aware of is that for instance, I think that there's quite a few people in prison that have had deep shadows and have not had a chance to grow out of this, egocentric or opportunist stage, even as they're adults at that stage. I mean, it's fine for a child to be at that stage, but if you're an adult at that stage, other adults are pretty unforgiving. And so I'd love to work with the justice system somehow to get a testing process going on to work with some lawyers or judges or somebody in the system so that as they're actually working with these clients, they will be able to kind of get some sense as to whether or not they are suffering from a lack of capacity to take a later level perspective. Because these folks need help doing that more than they need help being in prison. That's not a good approach to use for somebody that has been so traumatized that they are still at the egocentric stage when they're an adult. That doesn't happen generally without some kind of a trauma. We need some other ways of looking at all these various aspects of humanity. And if we could just give a few tools, observation tools, to people in these various professions, like coaches, they work with clients all the time, and to kind of be able to watch to see when somebody drops from an orange to an egocentric and then back up again, to be able to glide along with that and see, what they might do to help them. And it's just can be a very useful process in helping those make those kinds of determinations. I think it could work a lot with mediations, like if a mediator is trying to work between several people who are obviously disagreeing, not just because of worldview, but also because of shadow elements and other things. I think it can be really useful to have this kind of a map in the moment. So I'm just kind of looking for partners, for people that would be willing to work with me, to see if this can enhance the way that they are engaged in their work and support people who are needing support. That would be my hope. And I'm also, you know, realizing all Ken talks about how waking up is growing up, and he's just spoken about the, you know, in his integral semiotics, he's shared information about how the nature mysticism and deity mysticism and non-dual mysticism and formless mysticism, where they all come up and where they interpenetrate with the actual stage, so that the stage and the state are one with each other. And, mm-hmm. You know, I've kind of been able to map how that happens and where that happens with other states too. So, you know, there are stages where we see, after much work, we can see where, for instance, focused attention arises as at that place where it must interpenetrate, and where awareness rises where it must interpenetrate in their, you know, at least in their writing, we see where that comes up. And that that stage of that particular stage won't come up without that that particular state coming to maturity. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're really working with quadrants, levels, lines, states, and types all the way through all of this. And we know that we're just beginning to understand all of these spaces as people get more robust in the observation. We'll find, I think, more useful material. I think we've got lots and lots and lots of material and understanding in the upper left, but I think that there's just as much in all of the other quadrants that might come up, and we might see more and more. I don't think we often think about, you know, what is a concrete system, what is a subtle system, and what is a causal system, for instance. We haven't made those kinds of determinations, and yet, you know, that's all there. So
we can see the place in the periodic table where they belong.
That's right. Yeah, you can. So anyway.
Well, fantastic. So Terry, what are you going to be doing here in Boulder? You're coming here the end of September. What are the dates and the what could we expect to do there?
The 27th and the 28th. It's on a weekend, and Kim is coming with me. It's so much easier to understand these notions when you have diagrams and when you have a PowerPoint or a Prezi or something that can show you this material, and then you can actually practice with it along with Kim and I. So. I'll be sharing some of the theory that I've developed, and people will be able to see where the perspectives fall and how the interiors and exteriors of the perspectives arise, and the insides and the outsides of the perspectives. We have all of that. I have all of that mapped out. And then we'll go through each stage, and I'll share, you know, the spaces that allow those stages to manifest. And then Kim will pair with me and show how do you actually work with these stages, you know, based on the iterating patterns that come up from the concrete to the subtle to the causal. And if you have a shadow that dips down, you know, how do you actually work with them? So he'll do the feet on the ground part. I'll do the theoretical aspect of it and the description part, and then I can also share a lot about the actual stages inventory itself. We have many people taking it now, and so I can share that part of it, and Kim can share, you know, how you can use this periodic table to actually, you know, work with your individual clients on the fly. And so we'll have something for every single stage, all the way from impulsive all the way up through the illumined stage, where we have research on all of those stages. So that's kind of what, you know, a synopsis of what the workshop is going to be. It'll be 2 days. And, of course, we can't get to everything in 2 days. The workshop that I did in June had 4.5 days, and we still could have used more time. At some point, I would love to just have a workshop where, there's nothing on the slate except for everybody together exploring these spaces that Ken's beautiful model has opened up for us, and looking at it from, you know, these different approaches. So that's what I see next. And I mean, you don't know where something like this is going to go. It may not go at all. It may just, you know, end up with me learning a million things, and it may be something that is very, very useful to everybody. And of course, we always hope that that will be the case, but you never know.
Yeah. Well, we'll work it and find out here at September 27th and 28th at the Integral Center here in Boulder. So I encourage anybody who's interested to come, and I will be there myself, and I'm really looking forward to it. Terry and Kim will be looking forward to meeting you as well. I see we're coming along to the end of our time here. Is there anything that you'd like to add, anything that we left untouched that would be useful to add here?
I can't think of anything. Kim, do you have something you want to say?
Just the only thing is that, as Terry was saying, we're looking for other people that are interested in exploring this. I work with people all the way from the early developmental levels to the late ones, and people in corrections and people in foster care, and I have found it invaluable in all of those settings how to place foster care children in foster care homes, because you certainly don't want certain stages mixing with other stages in a certain configuration, and the configurations need to be addressed. And you can really create incredibly efficient and successful placements if you understand these. You can understand that if you're placing an older child that's at 1.5 into a family system that has younger children that are 2.0, but that are healthy at 2.0, that's going to be a recipe for disaster. You wouldn't know that otherwise, and people don't realize this, but there are all kinds of things that you can see. So we're looking for people to come from all walks of life and explore how this is going to can radically change and make much more efficient, happy, and healthy all different vocational enterprises.
Well, sounds fascinating and very, very rich. So congratulations and thank you for your work. I think it's really, really exciting, and I'm eager to find out more.
Thank you so much, Jeff, for asking us to, for giving us a space here to express, our learning. And I've always so much appreciated all of the offerings you've had through the years, too. You've been a real supporter of Integral and any model that is going to help humanity and the cosmos. So, we are very aware of all of the support and help you've done through the years, too.
Yeah, well, thank you. And can you imagine more exciting and fulfilling work? Good Lord.
Yeah, great.
Me either.
Could be more exciting. Yeah.
So Terry, I think you had somebody send me a request to promote this. I'd be happy to promote it to my list, and I have a pretty, as you can imagine, a pretty good local list. So, is there a website or something that I could send out something that would link or to help promote this workshop coming up on the 27th?
Yes, I'll send you something. We have both a website, we have a registration process
cool.
that can happen, but people can go in and if they want to look at the Pacific Integral Library, we've got all kinds of papers in the library about, causal leadership, which comes out of a lot of this work. We've been able to develop a leadership program that is based on causal tier premises, and that's our GTC program. So, we've really been able to integrate so much of the work at Pacific Integral along those lines. So I'll send you something, and then you can, send it out with everybody if you want to.
Yeah, please do, and I'll send it out right quick, because we're 5 weeks out, so we're good. But I think a lot of people would like to know about this and join in.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that was cool. I mean, I'm really. I'm. I'm, I mean, I, I'm really, you know, I love what you're saying, Kim, about how it can really help in all of these stages. You too, Terry, with the prisons and foster and so forth. And that's great. And what is feels really new, I mean, that's new and good too, of course, but to be really helping people who are, you know, working at the leading edge, if you will, to give some, you know, grounding and some, you know, orientation is just, you know, priceless.
Oh, it's so valuable working with people up in this upper tier, you know, in the causal. It's just beautiful watching them unfold, and you just see the parameters, and you can just say, yeah, this is a normal experience. This is a normal, healthy experience you're having here. They don't feel so lost and scared. Or, you know, when you enter a new tier, it can be so kind of scary and wobbly for people, you know. But if you can just say, hey, this is normal. It's okay. You're doing great, you know, then it helps soothe that, you know. And one of the things that you come up with, too, is realizing that anxiety and depression isn't like it's stated in the DSM manual, that anxiety and depression comes up at every stage, and it has a completely different configuration at each stage. Yeah. And so you can help people with their anxiety and depression all the way up to the causal, you know, because it is unsettling to all of a sudden be dropped into the causal tier and not have a map for it.
Yeah, indeed.
And regression actually turns out to be a good thing, because once you deal with whatever you regress to, which is oftentimes a shadow, you end up increasing your surface space, so you have a healthier, robust process in order to build the next stage on. So, you know, you never complain about regression, you know, because you found what can help you move ahead.
I'm so relieved to hear that. Thank you.
Jeez.
All right. More surface area for all.
That's right. More surface area for all.
For everybody. No exceptions.
That's right.
All right. Well, anything else we need to do here in this call?
I can't think of anything. I'll send you something this afternoon and so that you'll have it, and then we'll go from there. All right.
All right, Terry, my dear, thank you so much. Good talking to you. Kim, great meeting you. I love your work already, and I'm looking forward to meeting you in person.
I'm looking forward to meeting you, too.
All righty. Take care, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye, Jeff.